Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler. And each week we rotate through different growth strategies and industries and locations. So, you know, so one week I'm going to be interviewing somebody that is a Kansas City manufacturer that is growing through acquisitions, and the next week it's a retailer in Singapore that's growing through franchising. And then what I do about once a quarter, I'll do a solo show on some topics that I'm seeing through the work that I've been doing. You know, I've been a growth strategist for 38 years, and it's been 800 clients, and, you know, clients in 49 states and 33 countries. I've seen a few things. So, you know, once a quarter, I try to do a show that is seeing, commenting on some of the patterns that I'm seeing, separate from the growth strategies and the industries and their normal rotation. Okay. What I'm seeing is that there's an issue with ethics. This sounds so funny because, you know, I'm located in New Jersey, and unfortunately we have a reputation for some pretty unscrupulous behavior. Every time there elections come around, I'm embarrassed to say I'm from the state. I feel a little bit like Michelle Obama when I say that. She got in such trouble when she said that, you know, I can't remember the exact event, but remember during the election when she said, made a comment about this is the first time she'd been proud to be an American in a while, and oh, everybody just wanted to just beat her up. But it is embarrassing to be, you know, around folks that are doing some things that everybody knows is wrong, and it looks like there is so little that anybody can do to change it. And it just smacks you right in the face during elections. Well, it also smacks you in the face during recession. What people can, you know, are tempted to do, and when they are desperate for money or when they're scared or when they don't understand the rules or they're angry and they're looking for blame, our core ethics, our core values as individuals in business really is exposed. I mean, there's some transparency. Now, the good news about that is you can truly see who the people are that you're going to want to do business with. Watch how people act during recessions, because it'll give you some lessons about who you want to have long-term relationships with, who you need to be careful with, who you don't want to be partners with. In some ways, it's kind of like racism, sexism, ageism, any of the isms. There are key times when people are being laid off, when there's illness in a family. You can truly hear what somebody thinks underneath. They may be holding their tongue during good times, and they don't tell you what they truly think. Well, I've been hearing more racist, ageist, sexist, all the ist kind of comments in the last 6 months than I have heard for the last 5 years. So for this show, what I'd like to do is share some of my observations about what's bringing out ethical tests for you to think about yourself, think about what your salespeople are doing, think about what's happening on your board meetings, think about yourself when you're weighing alternatives. What are some of the things that are stressing your ethics as you try to grow your business? Now, remember, this is a peer-to-peer-to-peer program. The host, the guests, and the listeners are presidents, CEOs of mid-sized companies. So my comments are directed for people who are between maybe the $20 million and $200 million mark. And mostly I focus for this kind of topic. I really want to focus on the people between maybe 20 and 50. There are a lot of ethical tests for that size business. But you're not big enough to have the attorneys that can on board, usually, that can give you the advance warning of changes in regulations and laws and help think through the pros and cons of different approaches. And ethics is not the same as legalities, but a lot of ethical questions are answered by regulations. So it's safer sometimes for the big companies to actually have, well, what does the law require us to do? And their ethical tests are, how much are they going to shade the law? But I find the mid-sized companies don't have some of those internal advisors, they might not even have a CFO in place yet. They have a controller that's keeping score. But that's not the same as running the scenarios and seeing where are we headed, how are we going to be tested, what are the trade-offs. And true ethics are, there's two or three things that are involved. One of them are the trade-offs. And if you don't have the chance, you don't have the time, you don't have the research, you don't have the expertise to look at the trade-offs in advance, you get tested a lot more often. Okay, so with that as my preface, let's think out loud about what some of the ethical issues are. Well, some of the obvious ones are related to the financial markets. And any one of you listening could probably rant and rave a lot longer and a lot more clearly than even I could. I get that. There's such anger about how it happened. Now, this is not this particular recession that we're in. Has its own unique pieces to it. It is not just cyclical, in my opinion. We were due for a bursting of the housing bubble. It's just like the dot-com bubble. It got exaggerated. There was some issues about how real was it, and there was a course correction. There was a market correction for both the dot-com and the real estate bubble. But this one's got an additional piece of, what are the phrases? The fox not watching the hen house very well. And not just in the government sense, but board members. Where were the board members of individual companies not watching the fiduciary responsibility, not holding the CEOs accountable? Where was the SEC? Where was, and there's enough blame to go along around. Where were the companies when they were having bonuses and commissions paid to knowingly move bad paper? So, you know, the subprime mortgages, the formula, just ask an eighth grader if it made any sense. You know, should you be doing things that have no money down and upside-down mortgages where you could get a loan for such a high value, more than the house was worth? How long was that going to last? That the premise that things would always appreciate and that we're going to bet on the future, at some point that never would be a house of cards. It doesn't take too much education to figure out that whether or not you call it the subordinated debt or you call it derivatives, whatever fancy words you put on it, it was a house of cards and people could know. So it exaggerates, it made the pain and the sudden crumbling exaggerated. One of the reasons that that's so difficult is that it's taken away not just the money, but the trust. It's taken away this feeling of, well, somebody's watching to take care of us. You know, where's the FDA about food? Where's the SEC related to trade? Where's the monopoly monitoring? I mean, you feel it. There is a distrust not just of the companies but of the government about where it was. Now we're rushing in to bail people out, and there's still that anger and the distrust. Now, how did it happen? Because when you think through what kind of ethical tests were being done at the time, the last few years, this has been building up for quite a while. It isn't just legal challenges, although it's surprising to me to see that the CEOs of the various companies haven't been fired by their boards, let alone some people getting arrested by the government for the fraudulent, unethical, illegal behavior of knowingly moving bad paper. I don't think the recession is going to be done until the infrastructure is changed enough that we even know who needs to be doing some jail time for what's happened. I mean, Bernie Madoff with his Ponzi scheme got caught, but he isn't the only one that was doing some pretty large-scale deception, in my opinion. And just you get close to it, there are some things where people knew they were setting the whole world up for the financial collapse, and they were just taking their piece of the money and hoping they're not the one that's going to get caught. So how did that happen? So I want you to look at your own company and look at your board and look at who you have assigned to your board and look at the incentives around commissions for sales and for deals, and do they inadvertently invite short-term wins without staring at ethics? Without looking at the bigger impact on the world, without looking at the fiduciary responsibility. Even if that sounds corny and old-fashioned and I'm a Pollyanna, watch what happens now. You have the Sarbanes-Oxley requirements coming in to look at boards, the publicly traded boards. There is a trend towards investor rights groups wanting to have, you know, take over, not be so blind and passive with proxies. And shareholders are going to want to have more say because of the loss of trust related to boards. The scrutiny of the publicly traded company boards, everything from their governance committees to the auditing committee, et cetera, it's going to be less and less, fewer and fewer people wanting to even be on these boards because it's going to be so. It's already happening. I'm saying going to be, but it's headed this way already. I'm a member of the National Association of Corporate Directors, and it's interesting to see the trend in the articles and the advice being given to people and the change, even the stepped up training for people to truly get and understand compliance. So the compliance. Okay, what's the next wave, folks? Most $20 million companies are privately held. But wouldn't it be good if you looked at your company with an eye to what's being required of the bigger company? What do you need to do now so that you don't inadvertently recreate some of the stupidity, some of the problems, some of the bubble that's going to collapse that larger companies did? Very long-winded way of saying we all need to look at internal processes, particularly incentive plans. Take your CFO, even if you need to do a temporary part-time CFO to come in and look. Look hard at the incentives. Are they so short-term and focused? Are they so self-serving for the individual that they inadvertently help protract the recession, protract living the lie, protract inviting your board, even if it's just your relatives, to not have fiduciary responsibility? It's easy to say those big bad companies did this to the whole world. Boy, we wouldn't have done that. If it's small privately held companies, we wouldn't have done that. Well, here's your ethical test. You sure? Take a look who's on your board. Most privately held companies, I mean, 90% of them view themselves as family held. It's interesting to me because so many of them don't even have a son or a daughter in the business and they still say they're family held. Who's sitting on your board? And are they motivated to truly look at our commissions for the greater good? What's the value base behind what we're encouraging? How much do we reward board members who are speaking up and questioning the CEO? And if you really are honest and look at the composition of most boards, it's the spouse, it is a friend, it is small, it's controlled so the CEO doesn't lose control over the decisions, and it's a lot of rubber stamps. And it is not incentive, there's no incentive for the board members to speak up about it not being ethical, that it's contributing to the continuation of the recession, that it has the same kind of movement of bad paper kind of behavior. Take a look right now to see if there's spillover from the culture of the last 5 years that has affected how you staff your board, how you incentivize them, and whether or not you even want them to speak up. I'm going to take a break and I'm going to come back because that's a pretty heavy start to this. An awful lot of small businesses, mid-sized companies, $20 million companies, don't even want to have boards of directors. That's the response. Is that the ethical response, or is that a knee-jerk, I don't want to be caught response? We'll be right back. This is The Growth Strategist with Eldonna Ambler, taking a serious look at some ethical challenges.
From the stock market floor to your laptop, we are Voice America Business.
Do you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answer Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for the Money Answer Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement, get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answer Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answer Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
I'm Paul Hopkins, CEO of Farmers Insurance, and a proud sponsor of March of Dimes' premier walking event, March for Babies, formerly known as Walk America. More babies begin healthy lives because of March of Dimes research and programs. And with farmers' support, we can do even more for families all over America. One day, all babies will be born healthy, but we have to walk to get there. Join the March for Babies. Sign up at marchforbabies.org.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today I'm taking kind of a serious look at the ethical challenges that the economy is bringing to us as mid-sized companies. It's real easy for us to blame the big guys and say, boy, I can't imagine that that would have happened to us. Look at these publicly traded companies. They've got boards that didn't pay attention. And, you know, the SEC, where were they? And where's the government and watching my money? And nobody's going to bail me out and live. Okay. You sure? So in the first segment, I asked you to think about, have you looked at the incentives in your company? Have you looked at who you put on your boards? Have you looked at the board meeting agendas to see if you are incentivizing people to speak up, take true fiduciary responsibility, confront you when you might be too self-serving and not taking care of the company? You see it? You may have the same effect happening to you, and especially, here's your acid test. If your response to what's going on around you is to downsize your board or not even have a board of directors, or to even go further into, I'm going to go only with the people I trust. I'm going to have a relative. I'm going to have somebody that's going to yes me to death and run to safety. You're inviting yourself to not face ethical challenges even more. I'm going to go a little further. Where are some of the ethical challenges that happen on a day-to-day basis? One of the things that I've noticed has been the questions related to loyalty. A lot of ethical issues are about loyalty. Who are you loyal to? So if we're a board of directors, if they're brought in, if they're not screened to be, quote, loyal to the entity of the business, loyal to the company, the living, breathing organism of the company, if they are recruited to be loyal to the CEO, right there you set up ethical challenges, ethical questions, right from the beginning. Now, I know that's a heresy thing to say, because why would you bring somebody on who's going to give you so much grief and make your life more difficult and then have them as a board member? Well, the answer is that's what a real board needs to do. They need to be the ones that help you be accountable, help you grow the business, take care of the entity, and it's not just about you and your career. If you're good in your role, if you can learn, if you can take information in and demonstrate your business proposal and show you've listened to what your board members have said, having the experience and asking you questions and posing some challenges is exactly what most companies need. And when we avoid it, that's when we hit the plateaus. That when we as CEOs want to have somebody ask some provocative questions that has the entity's interest at heart, there you go, here comes the plateau from selfishness. So that's one of your first examples. The other thing I'm looking at related to loyalty, to take some consultants, here's a good way to see it. When I get brought in to do growth strategy, you know, say a strategic planning retreat, it's often interesting to see who makes the first call to bring me in. Is it the chairman of the board who's saying, okay, well, we really need to have the next wave clarified. We're not centered. We don't really know how big we should be. Should we be tripling the volume and doubling the labor for us to really get more benefits out of this? And sometimes when they talk like that, it's because maybe they're a little concerned their CEO hasn't given them a powerful enough plan. So they're doing some research looking for, quote, facilitators, and they're really looking for expertise, not just facilitation, for the strategic plan. Okay, now follow me for a minute. What if the first call to me was the president of the company instead of the chairman of the board? What's the agenda? President's saying, we're working on a strategic plan. I want to have a retreat, and I want to know where we're going in the future. I've got a board meeting coming up, and I want to make a good presentation. Where's my loyalty? Sometimes in their minds, it's whoever did the first call to me. Well, now my design for my business, okay, and this is important when you're contacting consultants, who's their client? Who's their client? I find an awful lot of, I have to finish that sentence, excuse me, my client's the company. Now, I have to be careful because the president that brings me in or the CEO that brings me in, there's trust involved, and a lot of times I'm needing to do coaching for them along with the facilitation of the strategic plan. You get to the point where you know somebody really well and you're advising them about their career. And there are some awkward moments that if you are really brought in to take care of the business, some of what I would need to do is say to John Doe, CEO, okay, let's look at your career in context. What's the appropriate amount of time for you to be here? And let's do a second piece that is about your career development and when the time is right for you not to be here, have succession, move on, et cetera, we'll work on that. But I'm going to bring that kind of stuff up. I'm not going to assume that you're the man forever, or that you should be staying exactly the same, or that your learning doesn't have to continue. Now, not everybody wants that. Some people want to have a consultant that's only going to be saying, okay, John Doe's the guy, that's the premise, and I'm going to be here as long as John Doe is here, and I'm not going to ever question that. But be careful when you're bringing consultants. Have the interview about who is their client. I've noticed some companies, the bigger ones, and it's going to sound funny, but the ones that are really setting up housekeeping, they want to have a big account, and they want a retainer, and they want multiple hours every month. I find there is more ethical test for those companies because their identity, what they're evaluated on back at home with their company is, did they stay in bed with the client? And the longer they're there, the more happy their bosses are. So there are cues on a day-to-day basis to not be confrontational, to not bring up anything, you know, that's going to rock the boat, to, you know, go through the motions and provide technical assistance and make things a little bit easier. You start doing and you start looking like you are on staff and loyal to the company. What you're really loyal to when you act like that is the account. You're really loyal to your billable time. So listen very carefully when people tell you about how they measure their effectiveness, what's important to them. Ask questions of the other clients about where their loyalty lies so that you get a sense of, are they going to be candid, are they going to speak up, or are they an independent thinker enough that they don't sound so desperate for the account, or they're being graded on the number of billable hours and their ability to retain the account and keep things quiet and safe, or do they have enough going on in their life that they're not desperate for you, that they're going to be, they have the freedom to speak up and actually tell you what you need to know and risk that it might upset you and that you might let them go and they're okay. You're going to get better, in my opinion, you're going to get better advice from consultants that have enough security in their role that they don't have to sell their soul to keep your account to keep their job. You follow the logic? So there's ethical tests from both the consulting side and the client side on what I just talked about. Look at what happens when you choose a consultant from the viewpoint of they're going to be loyal to you as a person. Who did you just choose? Where does your loyalty lie? Your loyalty would be lying in your career, your security, and playing it safe, not the company. What's your ethics behind that? If they were hired as a career coach, if they were hired as your personal support, fine. But if it is the company's paying for it, and it's supposed to be about the company's strategic plan, who are you to compromise it? Even if you're a CEO, who are you to compromise the loyalty factor and make it about you without you personally paying? And the loyalty factor related to the consultant, get it? This is important, particularly when strategy's being talked about and long-term relationships are talked about. I get put in this kind of situation where the board wants me to tell them things that are bad about the CEO. Okay, if it were transparent right from the beginning, what is a strategic planner or the executive? I do strategic advisory services, as you can hear. If early on it's transparent, what are the things that are the board is looking for, and I am being deployed by the board to do X, Y, and Z, and when is the report? Usually every 90 days. Okay, what are those reports about? What part of my work with execs, the CEO or a vice president of sales, is private to them? Because if they can't talk about what they're struggling with and get some help within the context of the strategic plan, they don't move forward. But if I turn around and I'm ratting to the board, okay, well, you know what the biggest issue for your, you know, the VP of sales is that they're afraid of so-and-so, or that they don't know enough about computers. And if I rat on them about, you know, what they're struggling with instead of just help them keep make progress, who am I loyal to? Am I only loyal to a destructive person on the board? Am I only loyal to myself? Am I loyal to conflict? You see it? If it's about the progress of the organization, you're clear about which things are confidential, which things, and it's not secret, it's not like a personal therapy, but which things you don't lead with. So I would give a report to the board that would say something like, here's the number of hours, that gets reported mostly to the CEO, frankly, of interaction with individuals, and I can report progress. So the context might say, made recommendations related to improvements in technology, made recommendations about this and this, let's say, interactions between people, without it being Jane Smith is scared to death of technology and making her look bad. There's no reason to do that. If you have a consultant or you have a company and that comes in and you see a pattern of what I call insultants, 9 times out of 10, there's an ethical dilemma. It isn't just their personal style. It is, where does their loyalty lie? They could be trying to get more billable time. They could be more invested in conflict rather than resolution. They could have more loyalty to an individual member of the board versus the CEO. Take a look when somebody's confrontational and negative and trying to blame anybody, who they're loyal to and why. What's the source of their being so insulting? You know, that kind of provocative behavior is from something. Okay, again, the phrase is loyalty. I want you to think about. Ethical challenges often come from a loyalty issue. All right, take somebody who is wanting to be a board member, and they give you recommendations. They come in and give you, say, an IT analysis, or they're a CPA, and they do an audit. And what they're really interested in is in serving on your board. How objective are they when, if you don't know that from the beginning? If you're the one later on that brings up, okay, the expertise is valuable, we don't need you on a consulting basis all the time, where I think you could be more helpful to us is, you know, the board, you can have fuzziness. So separate the negotiations. I have a situation like that right now where there's a nonprofit where the CEO called me, and the discussion came up about whether or not I would be a good person for their board. And I said, stop, wait a minute, let's back up. Tell me the situation. Tell me what your issues are, and we'll figure out the best way to deploy me, if at all. Let's make sure there's a fit. So we went back and forth between, you know, what their situation is, what I can do, et cetera, et cetera. We are starting with a strategic assessment of their organization because the CEO is not centered right now. They're having to change some of the board members. They're having to change the plan. They're having to look at their sponsors, a lot of things. And those are big, expensive decisions. So the strategy, the business model really needs to be looked at now. Whether or not I should or shouldn't be on the board is totally separate. I'm not even going to focus on it because maybe what I'll recommend is completely different people than me. And they need to know that that assessment can be freestanding and honest with no hidden agenda of recommending something accidentally on purpose that leads to me being on the board. Follow it? Are you sure that the CPAs, the attorneys, the strategic planners, the IT people who give you assessments don't have a hidden agenda of wanting more consulting or to be on your board? Okay, I'm going to take another break. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Be right back.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Money. Up-to-date business and financial news. Money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, and today I'm taking a serious look at ethical challenges, because I'm seeing an awful lot of them. The recessions bring them out. It's actually a good time for you to watch people's behavior, see where their loyalties lie, see what happens when they get nervous about money, see what happens when they're unsure about whether or not they've got a job, see what happens when they don't trust other people. Their true colors come out. I've seen people changing their business models in the name of being flexible about the economy, and that's not what it is. It's just they're scared. So, and I brought up in the last segment that a lot of ethical challenges come in the form of conflicts of loyalty. Who is somebody truly loyal to? Watch that in the next several months to see if someone's loyal to themselves, loyal to their boss, loyal to just security, loyal to the board, loyal to the company. What makes them tick? Where is the source of their, or is it to their profession and their long-term identity and their long-term positioning? Or does it change because there's a recession? Does it change by convenience? You know, really look at the track record of their recommendations. Okay, now another place that I've seen some ethical challenges that people are waffling all over the place, and not surprisingly, is in contracts. Service professionals are often in these referral versus subcontracted versus, you know, just parallel kind of company things. I've seen people come to me and they'd like to do a strategic alliance with me. Now, an awful lot of times that means we can't figure out how to do our marketing. Our sales is drying up. You look like you're doing really well. We'd like to piggyback on your marketing and your sales and get some business from you. That's what it really means when somebody's approaching a lot of times. I hate to sound so skeptical, but again, I've been in business 38 years. You get to the point where having all the people call you on almost a very predictable cycle of let's get together for mutual referral opportunities. I know what it means now. It's sad because there really are some people who genuinely want to get together for mutual referral and have a two-way street that they have in mind. But there's an awful lot of folks that it's just trying to figure out a way to have their marketing be cheaper. Right there. Right there. When somebody approaches you and the phrase is mutual, and you have to listen with such a kind of a cauliflower ear of, is it truly mutual? Says that you're listening for ethical questions. Would you have chosen that company for your strategic alliance partner? Would you have sought them out to have you be recommending them, bringing them into your clients? Would you be comfortable putting their company, you know, mentioning them on your website? Would you be comfortable bringing them into like a three-way conference call for your clients and not worry that they're going to try to take your client out from under you or undermine your work or try to badmouth you so that they can get more work themselves? Or, you know, I've seen this with attorneys, with accountants, with even architects. It's amazing how careful you need to be. All right, so why does that happen? Again, it goes back to the nervousness about money has people's ethics challenged. But your structure, how you go about things, can invite it or discourage it. So punchline is, during a recession, one of the key things to have, and all the time anyway, what is your criteria for strategic alliance partners? What's your criteria for joint venture partners? What's your shopping? What's your screen? What are you looking for mutual endorsements? What are your sets of rules? And if you find yourself starting to change them just because money's tight, why? What happened to you that you could quickly get talked into something that you would never have done? What's making you so nervous? Are you that desperate for money? If your business model was so frail that you're getting talked in much more easily to some of these, well, we're going to do this and that and the other and the commission and let's do splits and let's, you know, I'll do this and you can bring me in later. You know, you have this fast-talking feel. If you're tempted to take people up on that too quickly, instead of jumping into these deals thinking it's going to be the silver bullet to save you, I would ask you to look at your business model that would make you so vulnerable that you'd be tempted to go into the deals in the first place. What was fragile about your business model that the recession made it shaky so fast? Maybe you do need to do some laying off of people. Maybe you do need to look at your pricing. Maybe you do need to look at, you know, are you spread so thin trying to be everything to everybody that you need to focus on some specialized core products and do it really, really well so that you're distinctive and it stands out and you're a magnet drawing companies for clients. Think about what I'm saying here. We've got all this noise about distraction from distrust, lack of money, the recession, the unknown rules, and now some noise from unethical people trying to test us all the time. Isn't that a good time for you to be centered about what makes you different? If you ever wanted a time that your ethics and your honorability and your stability could stand out and be really vividly clear to folks and be reassuring, it's now. This isn't the time to be jumping all around for some kind of fast, you know, silver bullet to rescue you, moving target behavior, because then you're just like everybody else. Get it? So in this marketplace where you're going to be tested with people offering what looks like a really quick deal, I'd ask you to look at your business plan first to make sure you're centered. And the screen of who, you know, make your criteria, spell out your criteria, who you would have been looking for. If that company that's approaching you isn't on the list, by their behavior, their product, their quality, the numbers, all of it, if you wouldn't have been seeking them, why are you saying yes now? Second thing related to the subcontracting, joint venture, whatever. I'm seeing some people, they try to shade the truth. There's a couple of strategic partners that I've had, but I'm very proud of them. I can brag about them better than, you know, we can pieces of our company that we're trying to pull, still trying to improve. We've had some real, I've worked at it, but we've had some really good strategic partners. And part of it comes from negotiating back and forth, because you do get tested by the client. And one of the judgment areas that's important is, when are you subcontracted versus when are you referred? So do you have that spelled out? So in our case, for example, and I say our, the strategic planning company, I have multiple companies, but the strategic planning company. When it's clear that it is, you know, a strategic planning retreat, it's the core product of my company, We don't need to be subcontracted by anybody for that. In fact, it would be misleading. It would be confusing. It would be taking our responsibility and shelving it. I don't want somebody else to be, you know, doing that. I'll take the fiduciary responsibility. I'll take the errors and omissions responsibility. It's under my insurance. It's under my bonding and all that kind of stuff. This is what our core, you know, responsibility is. And that's a straight referral. So whatever commission you would be giving somebody for referring business to you, that's what it is. Now, it gets tempting, I've seen, from a couple of the strategic alliance partners, if they have some other alliances and they've been dealing with these moving target kind of folks with the missing, you know, the ethics that move all around, they get tempted to start changing the percentages during bad times. Watch for that, because they're also to be the ones that would want to start saying that you're a subcontractor and they want to have more control over the account instead of just having you be doing your work and giving them a commission. The other place I'm seeing the question is, again, account ownership. In the example I just gave, the piece that's on the business development and the one I'm thinking about is so clearly another company that's doing it. They really have a fabulous program. I don't want to interfere with it. I want to coordinate with them. And, you know, they gave me a commission. I give them a commission for them bringing me in for strategic planning, and I owe them coordination as we go forward so the two companies are taking care of the client well. And we both have account management responsibilities. But let's say hypothetically, because it's not happening with the one I'm thinking about, they get nervous about money or they're afraid to have anybody near their client because they're so desperate for money. They might start wanting to play with who's the account manager. They might start wanting to play with commissions. They might start wanting to withhold information. It can get bad. So who are you working with? That's all the more reason to make sure that you have referrals appropriately at given times. You don't have to be a subcontractor to owe coordination. They don't have to be the only account manager for you to owe, you know, answers back. You're both working with the client. You need to take care of each other. I hope that was clear. I don't know if that was as smooth as I wanted it to be. I've seen some people try to make, some service companies try to make everybody a subcontractor during, you know, tight times, during recessions. We're going to keep control over this account. We're going to be charging so much for administration, and you owe it back to us. In the speaking world, I've noticed that the bureaus often get much more controlling because they have fewer orders. They have more speakers coming out of the woodwork that are offering things at lower prices. There's a lot of chaos and commotion during recessions. And so a lot of them get nervous that they're going to have a client stolen, and, you know, the fee's going to be wrong, and somebody's going to be bidding directly to the client and just skip the bureau. And just like manufacturers with major distributors, it's the same kind of behavior. Before any of that kind of stuff happens, you need to go back to the major bureaus, you need to go back to your manufacturer, and remind people about how stable the negotiations are. Walk through it again before they have to ask you, before you don't get referrals, before you don't get brought in. Wouldn't it be better for you to be proactive and show you understand what spin-off business is, what percentage it would be, be more deliberate about the steps of reporting back to where you got the business, be more deliberate about coordinating the effort. You can ask for things like, should we do a combined call? Should the two of us be on the phone with the prospect? Follow up if you don't get something to find out why you didn't get it. Much more deliberate during bad times. It's sad that you actually have to almost double prove that your ethics are the same as they were during good times. But unfortunately, there really is too much invitation for people to lie, to skip steps, to try to cheat the other person, to try to figure out a way to get money, to try to take control. It's too easy. So it's just like the first conversation I had in the opening of this segment. It's like your commissions. You need to show that you would be the one that they could trust. You can't just say, oh, trust me, I'll be good. You got to demonstrate that you're in it for the long haul. Now, next topic I want to talk about is we rant and rave. I just, you know, look at the news, look at what business people do. You go to a Chamber of Commerce meeting, and they'll rant and rave about elected officials. And look at these people that are double-dipping. They even have a side job, and so they have pensions that are getting given to them. And then they make decisions about the government pensions and the budget, so how conflict of interest is that? And you'll have a big attorney that's supposed to be trying people, and then somehow a relative doesn't get tried, and you go, wait a second, there's pay-to-play involved here and selective, you know, prosecution and yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's so many accusations, you know, accusations against politicians. Well, take a look at how campaign finances are done. How much money comes from business? How much money is really pay-to-play, where, you know, the money that goes in to the politicians, who are they going to pay attention to, and how do contracts get done? I don't know if it's only the politicians that need to look at their dirty linen. There is a whole entrenched system around how campaign finance is done. And the more we rail against it, the more I wonder about if business really wants it to change. It seems to me, and this, you know, when you rank order the various problems in the system, until we can change how campaign finance is done, it doesn't seem to me like we're going to make any difference in the ethics in politics. And that's just my observation about it. If I were to rank order what I would go after, how do we change campaign finance? We get close when there's a major catastrophe or there's, you know, some big conflict. A piece of legislation passes, there are pay-to-play kind of rules get put in place, and then somehow ignored or somebody works around it. I want you to think about what your company's doing that contributes to the problems with pay-for-play and campaign finance. Okay, I'm going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and I'll close with some suggestions about what you can do to keep your company ethical.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjoy Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjoy Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
Sell, buy, sell. All we talk about is money. Talk to an expert. Call now. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today I'm doing an unusual solo show. I try to do these about once a quarter. And this one's on some serious thoughts about ethics. I want you to think about what your company's doing. When is it getting tested? And it's about loyalties, and it's about money, and it's about your relationships, who you work with, and are you opting for the convenient short-term wins that really compromise your long-term success? And so I want you to look at places where you get in a hurry. Look at places where there isn't a piece of paper in front of you about values, and someone's just proposing how they can make money. The value sheet of paper needs to be in front of everybody. If you ever needed your value statement, you need it now. If there isn't one about what are the underlying operating values of the business, create it. Because then you can sleep at night. Bad enough we've got a troubled economy and some challenges. And this is a global issue. This is not just one country. And when you have a value statement of that you're in it for the long haul, or that you are transparent and you don't lie, it'll be tested quite a bit. One of the things that I want to make sure I do in this segment is lies of omission really are pretty predominant, prevalent, frequent during recessions. People don't want to pick a fight. So if they can't hit a deadline, they won't say, I got behind, I'm really in trouble, we didn't have the money. They don't want to say, I had to lay off people and I can't get to it. They're so desperate for the account. They'll say something else. And then the transparency is not there. So when you find out, and a lot of people find out, what was the real issue, the trust level goes down. So one of the things I'd ask you to do, and it's, again, I sound Pollyanna, I may sound naive, I don't care. It's so important for business people to know what their values are, to be in it for the long haul, to do our part in turning some of the causes of a recession around. It starts with ethics, it starts with honesty. And if every time we have a chance that we're tested, we opt for the short term, the convenient, and a little bit more money, we add to the problem, not stop it. So take a look at the times when somebody can't make a meeting, they missed the deadline, they couldn't do what was needed. Instead of working it through, watch who shades the truth in your meeting, because you have a chance as a CEO to influence what you want your corporation to be doing. Are you inadvertently sanctioning the shading of the truth, the lies of omission? Maybe they didn't pick a fight and they didn't set off a customer, or they didn't temporarily lose the account, but they put in the universe the image of your business as opting for short-term, opting for just money, opting for where's the loyalty? The loyalty is to somebody's career and safety rather than the viable completion of the account or living up to the guarantee that's been provided. Now, I want to make sure I give you some contact information, because I've said some provocative things and I'd like some feedback. I can be reached at aldonna@ambler.com, A-L-D-O-N-N-A, at A-M-B-L-E-R.com. In the United States, the toll-free number is 1-888-ALDONNA. I have multiple businesses and telephone numbers, so if you're dealing directly with me, those are the numbers I want you to use. I'd like to hear your examples of where you've been tested. I can, do the anonymous versions on a future radio program, but I'd like to hear, where do you find your salespeople are being tested the most? Where is your board being tested? I want to know about that industry that was evaluating boards. Where were they the couple weeks before the September collapse of so many of the companies? Where was the Lehman Brothers board for everybody to act like it was such a surprise? That whole industry, they had rated Lehman Brothers as an excellent chance to take. Are you kidding me? So there's whole industries that have been ducking and not doing what they're paid to do. So your company could inadvertently, I'm not saying this is intentional. In some cases it was. But for most of us, that's on the day-to-day whittling away. What are some things that you're doing to help your salespeople, help your marketing people, help your operations people, help your board, help your executives, help yourself face the ethical dilemmas that are challenging? What do you do to stay centered? What kind of techniques are you using? I can share them with people on the air. What are you doing to reduce the temptation for pay-to-play? What are you doing to improve the long-term stability of your business? What's the screen that you use to of criteria for strategic alliances, subcontracts, referral commissions, those kind of agreements, distributorships, franchising, licensing, all have temptations to shade the truth for when it's convenient. What are you doing to encourage the honesty to be what you lead from in your organization rather than be whatever is going to expedite things and keep you moving and tread for a few more minutes? I listened to Alan Weiss talk about two weeks ago, and I've heard his story a number of times, and he has one story about when he was much younger and went on a vacation with his wife, and they went to an island, and they, you know, and he's out on a sailboat in pretty shallow water, and he topsides the boat, and so he's not a good swimmer, and he's out there treading water and very, you know, uncomfortable and scared. And the lifeguards paddled out finally to come get him, got out of their boats and walked over to help him turn the boat upright and put him on the boat so he'd be okay. You hear the operative phrase and his punchline, and he tells it much better than I just did, obviously. The punchline is, when you are afraid and you think the water is so deep, you tread water instead of swimming. Well, I think when it comes to ethics and honesty and having continuity about your values, a lot of people think that the water is too deep. It's not, you know, we can't do this. We can never turn this around. We can never make a difference. And think about the fact that it leads to you treading water rather than growing your business. It's not that deep. It is worth doing. And if you want to swim and grow your business, it's really important to get past treading water. My wish for you, as it is every week, is for accelerated growth with sustained profitability. The secret is to reverse the phrase. First, know what drives your profitability, and I hope ethics is one of the things that it takes. This is the Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into the Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of the Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.